You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, take out your message notes. This is part 11 of our series, Body Armor. Everybody say body armor.
Body armor.
We got one more week in this, and so we'll wrap it up next week. 12 weeks is a very long series for me. I typically try and do them a little bit shorter because you can get more subjects in that way. But there was just so much depth that we needed to cover with this particular series, and so I wanted to cover everything. And so that's why we've got 12 parts. So you don't want to miss next week. If you have missed any of the parts in this series, everything is online. You can go out there and listen to the podcast and catch up. Also, my notes are already on the website for today's message, plus all the past messages. So if you want to follow along, you can jump online and all of my notes are there. Or you can just follow along on the handout there. The scriptures will be there for you, or they'll be on the screen. But let's get into this. Let's read our foundation scripture found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. That's kind of been what we've launched this series from. So the scripture says this, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I tell you what, I want to do something a little different. Let's all read this together, all right? I'm going to do like one of the old school. Ready? Read. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith or which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I really can read. I have grown up with the King James Bible, so I still say wherewith every now and then and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I've only been using the New King James for about 10 years now, so it's only taking me a minute. But anyway, let's just pray before we get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for just another opportunity to gather in your name. Father, we've already worshiped you, and our prayer is that it was pleasing to you. We thank you for your presence and for your anointing. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these precious people. And I thank you, Father, that as we get into the Word today, I thank you that every ear will be a hearing ear and every heart will be a receptive heart. And Father, I thank you that you'll speak to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that not only just the sound of my voice, but Father, I want them to hear the sound of your voice behind my voice. I pray, Father, that you speak to every heart what you desire for each and every one to hear and receive. Lord, I thank you that we purpose in our hearts to not just be hearers only, but we'll be doers of the Word as well, and our lives will be better and different because of it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to focus on verse 16, and it says this, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able." Everybody say, "I will be able."
I will be able.
Paul said, "You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Now, I want to just remind you, just for the sake of review, put the picture of my friend up there on the screen. This is my friend, the Roman general, and I like to put his portrait up there so you can get a feel as to what the typical Roman soldier would have looked like. And we don't know what the rank was of the soldier that guarded Paul while he was in jail in Rome and in Ephesus while he was writing this, but he was writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. And so you see there the different parts of the Roman armor that they would wear, and we've covered just about all of it. There's a couple of more pieces, the shield of faith that we're going to talk about today, and then we'll talk about the last piece next week. But I want to just point out to you, notice that we covered in our series talking about the loin belt of truth. And Paul said it, that he called it the loin belt of truth, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But the belt that the Roman soldier wore was probably the most important piece that he wore because all of the other pieces attached to it. And if you'll remember, we talked about that the loin belt of truth is based on, and it's figurative of, the written Word of God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the written Word of God. I said, I'm thankful for the written Word of God. Anybody else in here thankful for the written Word of God? Now, what you need to understand is that when he started talking about the shield of faith, he would have had in mind, and I'll show you this a little bit later on, but the Roman soldier would have carried that shield by a clip that was on the back of it and rested it on that belt. That shield could have been weighty and, you know, they traveled great distances, and so it enabled them to be able to carry the shield a long ways and have the load shared on that belt. So the belt would carry the weight, or the shield would be attached to that belt. And here's the first thing that I want you to see. If you're writing notes, write this down. Your faith is attached to the Word of God. Your faith is attached to the Word of God. It's very important that we understand that. The presence or absence of faith in your life is indicative of a presence or absence of the Word of God in your life. So I'm going to say this, no word, no faith. Little word, little faith. Lot of word, great faith. Okay, so I want you to understand that the two are attached. They come together. And so faith and the Word of God are inseparable. And so we need to understand that. Write this down, please. That faith grows as a result of the impartation of God's Word into the human heart. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says that, let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, some translations say a measure. That is actually incorrect. It is the measure. Because if you say a measure, what the implication that leads is that she got more faith than I got. God dealt to each of us different measures. But if you say the measure, when you received Jesus and you got born again, God deposited His faith, a measure, the measure of His faith, down into your heart. And so what we need to understand is that as we grow in the things of God and we spend time in God's Word, God imparts by the Holy Spirit His Word into our heart. And as that happens, faith grows and is developed. Let me remind you of a scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Many of you can quote it. It says this, so then faith comes how? By hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Somebody said, well, Pastor, will you please pray for me that I'll get more faith? No, I won't, because I can't. If you need more faith, you have to spend time in the Word. You have to, and I know it says hearing, but a couple of things that I want to point out in this verse is that when Paul wrote this, it's written in a continuous sense. In other words, it doesn't mean faith comes by having heard one time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You know, there's subjects in the Bible that I've heard messages on for 40 years, and I still hear the same scripture, and something different will jump out to me, and more faith will be added to me as I feed upon God's Word. And so your faith will grow as a result of the Word of God getting down into your heart. So you need to understand the connection between the Word or the shield of faith and the written Word of God, the loin belt. They were connected. So that's very, very important that you understand that. Now, the Roman soldier possessed two types of shields, and I want to give this to you. The first type of shield that a Roman soldier would have is called an aspis. Aspis, you don't need to know that, but it's kind of cool to just say it, aspis, okay? Because you can say, you can leave here today and say, I know Greek, okay? And so what the aspis shield was, a smaller, round, decorative shield that was used primarily when the Roman soldiers were on parade. You know, one of the biggest things that they would do when they would come into a city that they were conquering is that they would march in rank and file, and you would see the soldiers in their full regalia carrying this smaller round shield. I have a picture of it just to give you some examples of what this round shield would look like. It had a lot of decoration on it, but it served very little purpose on the actual battlefield. It was mainly for a display, a big old display, so that people could see everything that they had. So that's the first type of shield that a Roman soldier would have been issued. The second type of shield that a Roman soldier would have been issued is called the thurios. Thurios is in the Greek, it refers to a door. And it's very interesting that this word is used, because if you look at the shield, it was big enough to be the size of a door. I have a couple of pictures to show you. This is a soldier that had a thurios. You can kind of see it from the side there. I actually have a picture from the movie Gladiator, which I mentioned to you. If you want to see a great scene that depicts how Roman soldiers would have fought a battle, watch the first 30 minutes of Gladiator. But this is what the soldiers would have looked like with this thurios shield in front of them. So you see the difference in the thurios and the aspis shield. This one is not made for carrying in parades. This one isn't made for looking good. It's strictly functional. And it served a great purpose. And I'll talk to you more about the size of it and the purpose of the size of it just a little bit later on in the message. But what I want you to grasp about this particular shield is that, see the size of it, the Roman soldier, if he had to carry this a long ways, he could rest it in that loin belt and let the belt carry some of that weight. Now, what was so interesting about this, and the reason that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul in this writing to say thurios instead of aspis shield, is that this shield was, of course, the size of it, but this shield was made out of leather, animal hide. And what the Roman soldiers would do is, or whoever would make these for the soldiers, they would take layer upon layer upon layer of leather, and they would bind it together so that it was exceptionally thick. And it was designed to be very, very durable. So if you think 6 to 8 layers of leather just compounded on top of each other, bound together, that's what this shield consisted of. And you know, if you look at it there, it almost looks like it's made out of wood. It wasn't, because wood would have been too heavy for the soldiers to carry. So leather was a little bit lighter, but it still could hold up and endure the type of beating that the enemy would bring against the Roman army. Now, what's significant about this, and the reason that these soldiers made it this way, is so that it could hold up and last throughout the battle. Now, here's something to write down, please. Your faith is just as tough. It's extremely tough and exceptionally durable, and probably more so than you ever realized. See, a lot of us kind of think our faith is real fragile. Your faith is designed to take on the brunt of enemy attacks against you. And so when you put that shield in front of you, it's designed to take a beating. And so the thing that you need to understand is that it is very, very durable. Say durable.
Durable.
Now, it was durable, however, if you took care of it in the proper way. So the Roman soldier had to maintain this shield and do some things to keep it to where it would stay functional and be able to hold up. So every day when you woke up, if you were privileged to be able to stay in a tent or whatever as a Roman soldier, you carried around a vial of ointment. Now, this ointment had oil in it mostly and some other elements, but it was designed for you to take a small rag, you would dip this ointment on it, and you would spend time constantly rubbing it into your shield. And what this did is it oil kept the leather soft and pliable. In other words, if I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you've ever had a pair of shoes that maybe you left outside or got wet and you didn't really take care of them, well, leather will get dry and brittle and will eventually break apart if you don't take care of it. And so every day the soldier would take this oil and he would massage it into his shield so that the shield would stay pliable and be able to be useful to him and didn't fall apart. Now, here's why Paul, and again, in the Holy Spirit inspiring him to write this, he knew this and when he was writing it. And so here's why. Because, write this down, without a constant, fresh touch of the Holy Spirit's oil or power in your life, your faith will become hard, brittle, and stiff. See, oil in the Bible is a type and shadow of the anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so what God is telling us is that our faith must constantly be massaged with the oil of the Holy Spirit in order to stay effective. Because what happens is if we try and build our faith and stand in faith and develop our faith without any touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives, your faith is going to get brittle and it will fail. Now, let me show you a scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. By the way, you guys are supposed to be on a sugar high. So, you know, because all that cake back there. And so don't get sleepy on me, all right? That's why we gave it to you, all right? No, we had some left over from an event that was here this week. So we thought, well, we'll just put it out and let everybody eat it because otherwise Pastor will take it home and he'll eat it. So, no, I won't. I'm just teasing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Paul writing, this is a chapter before, he's talking about the armor. He said this, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Dissipation is a fancy word for saying works of the flesh. How many of you know, if I'm not going to look up, but if you've ever been drunk in this room, how many of you know your flesh might have a tendency to get out of control? Okay, praise the Lord. So Paul said, don't do that. He said, don't get drunk with wine, and which is dissipation. But notice what he did say. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, again, this in the original language is in a continuous sense. Paul said this. He said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess or fleshly things, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I need to park here for just a second and spend some time and tell you it is imperative for a believer who is born again to have the power of the Holy Spirit operative in your life. It is imperative. You must have the Holy Spirit moving in your life and you must apply His anointing to your life on a regular basis. Paul said this, you need to be full of Him. I'm going to say it again. You need to be full of Him. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be full of Him. Okay? So how do we do that? Well, he goes on. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In another epistle, the epistle to Jude, Jude 20 says this, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up, praying in the Spirit. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. Stop, back up. But build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, is what the Scripture says. So that's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be able to spend time praying in the Spirit. Because as you spend time praying in the Spirit, you're taking your vial of oil, you're putting the oil on the rag and you're rubbing it on your shield. You're keeping that oil going in the shield. See, faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and fails and falls into pieces during a confrontation with the enemy. I can promise you, if you have very little activity with the Holy Spirit in your life and you go into battle, I'm sad to say, it's the truth, but I'm sad to say to you, you probably will not win the battle. Because you need that power, you need that oil in your faith to keep it to where it can stay strong. See, play it safe and assume that your faith always needs a fresh anointing. Here's why I love that scripture in Ephesians 5 where Paul said, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why you need to be being filled. It's because you leak. You leak. See, how many of you know Paul was writing this to a church who had received the baptism and the Holy Spirit? But he told them to be filled. Somebody said, but I pray, Pastor, and I got filled 20 years ago. But are you being filled? See, the day of Pentecost was years before this was ever written. And so Paul is writing to Spirit-filled believers and told them, you need to stay filled on a consistent basis. You receive one time, but you stay filled all the time. That's awfully good right there. That'd be a great place for you to say amen or grunt or cough or something. But anyway, see, we do this. We keep the oil flowing by going to the great anointer and spending time in prayer and worship, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us. All right? Now, again, we're talking about that Thurios shield. The soldier must keep it rubbed in with the oil. Now, there was another reason that the soldier's shield was made of leather. All right? Before the soldier would go out to battle, he would dip his shield in a tub of water. Now, I know what your first thought is, but that doesn't work with oil and leather. No, the design wasn't for the water to completely soak the shield, but the water was designed to make the shield wet. So when the soldier went into battle, the fiery arrows that the enemy would fire at the soldier would be doused by the word. Water. I let that slip on purpose. Did you get that? Okay. Now the scripture tells us that the word is like water. Look at a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to jump ahead of you guys, so stay with me. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Now, go back to the blank just before that. See, we must make certain that every day we're allowing the Holy Spirit to freshly anoint our lives as we saturate our faith with the water of the Word. See, there's more to this than you just getting a bunch of Word and standing in faith. No, you need to have the power of the Holy Spirit operative in your life, and you need to be in the Word every day. Because so many of us are going on to the battlefield. We're trying to fight. We think we're going to do this, but you have no water on your shield. And so when the enemy shoots his fiery darts, he's able to burn your shield up. No, take your shield of faith, dip it in the water of God's Word, and so when you step out onto the battlefield and those fiery arrows are shot at you, the water will douse out the fiery arrows. Now, if you've ever watched the movie Gladiator, in the beginning, you can see what these fiery arrows look like. A lot of times what they would do is that they would have pieces of material on the end of the arrow that they would dip in tar so that they could light them on fire and they would stay on fire as they sailed through the air. But the point was that when they hit their target, they wouldn't go out. So what God is telling us is if you wash and keep your shield soaked in the water of God's Word, when those fiery arrows are shot, the Word is going to put those arrows out. Now let me tell you how it happens. See, what's going to have to happen is when the arrow shows up in your life, you're going to have to let the Word come out of your mouth. See, what happens is we go into battle And we have been feeding on the Word of God. We've been spending time with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit. So we've got our shield ready. We go into battle, and so the enemy starts firing his darts at us. You're going to have the Word that you've been soaking your shield in coming out of your mouth. So when the arrow is shot at you and it lands on your shield and the devil says, you know, it's flu season, you're going to get the flu this year. No, what you need to say is, nope, in Jesus' name, Jesus took the flu 2,000 years ago, and by His stripes I am healed. I have been delivered and redeemed from the curse. Flu is under the curse. I don't have to have the flu. And I pass it up, thank you very much, in Jesus' name. See, we just think some things have to be. They don't. Am I helping anybody? Y'all coming off your sugar high now because you kind of... So what we need to do is we need to constantly be rubbing the oil of the Holy Spirit into that shield, and then we need to be dipping it in water of God's Word so that we're ready to step out on the battlefield. Now let's go back and let's read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And I want to break some things down for you because there's some wording in there that's very important. You know me, I like to dissect some stuff so that you can see what's behind it, the thought behind it. So in Ephesians 6:16, Paul said this, above all. Everybody say above all. So in the writing of this, when he said above all, he didn't mean it's more important. All of the armor is important. But what Paul is telling us, it's a Greek phrase that means over or out in front of all. See, what he's telling you is you need to take the shield and put it in front of you. He's saying that you need to take the shield and put it in front of everything else. Here's what I want you to see. It describes position, not importance. Okay? So we've read that and we thought, well, you know, faith is the most important thing or the important aspect of the armor. It's not. All of it is important. And so faith is designed, though, to be out in front where it can completely cover you in every situation of life. And so the phrase is telling us that the shield of faith is meant to completely cover you. Now the next phrase or the next word in this verse, above all, taking. Everybody say taking. This word is a Greek word, analambano, and it means this. You can take something up that you might have laid down. Now listen to me carefully. Some of us have gotten in the battle, got tired, and we quit. What the Spirit of God is telling us through this verse is, Paul is telling you, pick the shield up again. Pick it up again. Put it in your hand again. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Paul said this, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by recalling them, look at this, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith. Now that says to me that faith can be let go of. So Paul told Timothy, he said, hold on to your faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. So Paul is telling us when he says taking the shield of faith, if you by whatever reason have laid the shield down, pick it back up again. Here's the thing. God is not mad at you because you laid your shield down. He wants you to pick it back up and go back into the fight. Now here's the thing. The other thing that I want you to see is when you go back into the fight, you don't have to start at square one. You can pick up where you left off because God's waiting for you right there. So you can go back in. And so it assures us that if we have laid our faith down at some point along the way, anybody in here ever gotten discouraged? If you've ever gotten discouraged and stopped believing God to work in your life, it's not too late to pick it back up and walk in faith again. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? It's never too late. Praise God. So he says this, above all, taking the shield of faith, and then the next phrase is with which you will be able. Say able.
Able.
All of this phrase right here, with which you will be able, comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get explosive power from. Explosive power. See, I don't want you to underestimate how powerful this tool that faith is, that God has given us. That Paul is telling us that when you put that shield in front of you, if you've laid it down, if you pick it back up again, put it in front of you, you have now made available explosive power that can go to work for you and keep your life from becoming wrecked by the battle of, or the fight of the enemy. Everybody say power.
Power.
You need to have the power of God operative and working in your life. See, power and faith working in your life together will equip you to hold your position against the enemy where you won't take any serious blows and be damaged by them. It's so important. So important. Now, there's a phrase in this verse that I want to emphasize. I kind of explained it already, but what are the fiery darts of the wicked? They're not darts like little Nerf darts, you know, like the Nerf guns we have today. See, that's kind of what we think the enemy shoots at us. No, what you need to understand is the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. When he shoots at you, he means business. He's trying to inflict as much damage as he possibly can. And so those fiery darts either can be the arrows that he shoots at you. Now, again, if you've watched that battle in the movie Gladiator, you'll see where another thing that they would do is they had catapults, and they would take clay pots and they would fill them with tar and light the tar on fire, and they would hurl those pots into a wooded area so that the soldiers that would be standing underneath them, as the pots hit the trees, they would break open and that tar would splatter everywhere and burn people, catch them on fire and would burn them. See, that's what the enemy is endeavoring to do to you and to me. But you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God and our shield of faith, can keep that from happening. So let me give you a translation of this particular verse. Paul is saying this: pick up and keep the shield of faith out in front of you. Because as you keep your faith anointed with the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God, supernatural power will be available to you to put out all the flaming, fiery arrows the enemy will fire at you. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Hallelujah. Now, let me leave you with a couple of thoughts because these are very, very important. Listen to this. By keeping your shield of faith anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit and saturated with the water of the Word, you will ensure that every fiery dart that the enemy launches against you will miserably fail. How would you like every effort of the enemy that comes against you to fail? You know, the scripture, I quote it over you all the time from Isaiah, where it says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, I do need to tell you, that's conditional. If you don't have your shield out there, guess what? The weapon formed against you might prosper. Now, you need to understand a couple things about that verse. Number one is this: the weapon will be formed against you. It didn't say that if the weapon's formed against you. It said that the weapon formed against you won't prosper. In other words, it won't be able to inflict what God or what the enemy has designed for it to inflict in your life. Now, here's the principle that I want you to get, that this is so important. All right? Write this down and then I'll explain it. It's also important to note that we as Christians can march side by side with our shields joined together to help one another and be strong as a body of believers. Now, I want to say this to you. God gave you faith and teaches us how to stand in faith, not just for our own primary use. He's given it to us so we can stand with each other. Now, you remember me telling you about the shield being as big as a door, being as wide as a door? Now, I want to show you a picture of what it looks like when the soldiers held their shields in the battle line correctly. Notice that the shields not only formed a barrier in front, but they could take the shield and put it over their head, and they're almost totally protected. Now, if you remember when we talked about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, remember I talked to you about how it's not just shoes, but there's those greaves that come all the way up to your kneecap. Well, this is one of the reasons that you wore those greaves. Notice how the shield comes down, but it only comes down as far as their knees. If you're wearing your greaves, if you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace, and you have your shield of faith up there, you're totally protected. But here's the thing that I want you to see. The importance of us standing together with our shield, we can form a barrier that the enemy cannot penetrate. See, it's not just about when, you know, when we make our time available at the end of the service for people to pray with you and agree with you, or you find somebody else that you agree with. It's not just about you having somebody to pray with. In the spirit, you need to see that I and my partner are putting our shield up like this, and we can get behind that shield and we can be totally protected from whatever the enemy wants to bring against us. Let me show you another picture. Here's a little better picture, what it looks like. So you can see that the soldiers, that all of them joined together when they would put their faith, their shield up, it would protect them and keep them safe. What I'm wanting you to see is that when we stand together as a body, can I preach for just a second? See, that's why Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Notice it doesn't say, don't forsake coming to church. Now, I know preachers have preached that, and that is what it implies, but let me tell you what it really is saying. When he uses the word assemble, what it means is, don't forsake the putting together of yourselves as the manner of some is. What I'm telling you is that when you come and you're with other people who believe like you believe, who are standing on the word like you're standing on the word, this is what it looks like in the spirit. And the enemy doesn't see anything but a mass group of people that are protected and shielded by the faith of God. Now, I'm reminded of my friends up here, Troy, Tripp and Dana. They have been to South Africa, and they have been on safari before. Now, I've got some other friends that have been on safari, and I don't know if you know anything about safari, but when you go out into the bush and you're riding those vehicles, you're out in the open. A lot of times you're riding on the roof of the vehicle, so you're up high so you can see. And they'll be riding with you and taking you out into the bush. And you, there's no telling what you might encounter. I mean, there might be elephants. There might be giraffes, zebras, whatever. You might also come upon a pride of lions. Now, what they will tell you is, and I had some friends who are from South Africa, that he took his boy at the time, he was about 10, out into the bush. And there was a leopard that came and walked beside the car and jumped up on the hood of the vehicle. Now, I'm not talking about Lion King leopard. I'm talking about a real leopard. One that can run 35 miles an hour and pretty much do you in if it wanted to. And so the guide had told them, whatever you do, do not move. You stay as still as you possibly can. You let the leopard do whatever he's going to do and just look and observe. He's just checking things out. But if you don't have any sudden moves, it doesn't really get their attention. Now, the thing that you need to understand about lions is lions by nature do not like those vehicles. They don't like the smell of the exhaust. It stinks to them. And so that's why they will tell you when we ride upon the lions or, you know, a pride of animals like that, a pride of lions, whatever you do, do not stick your hand outside of the vehicle. Stay in the vehicle. You can take pictures. You can do whatever you want to, but you sit in the vehicle. Now, here's why. Lions see in mass. They don't see detail very well. And so what they see is this big machine. They don't know it's a machine, but they see this big thing that stinks. And they might see people sitting in it, but that doesn't mean anything to them. Here's the problem. I read an article about where there was a group of Japanese tourists that went to South Africa. They went on a safari, and they made one of the people in the back of the vehicle made the mistake when they rode up on a pride of lions. He wanted to take some pictures and got down out of the vehicle. First of all, stupid. But anyway, what happened? He ended up getting attacked and killed. Here's why. Because the lions did not see him as part of the unit, the whole unit. They saw him as an individual who was now not protected. And here's what you need to see. The scripture says in 1 Peter that our adversary walks about like, he's not, but he walks about like a roaring lion looking to find whom he may devour. See, here's where being a part of a fellowship of believers that believe like you and can stand with you is so important. As long as you stay in the vehicle, you're okay. The lion can't attack you because he sees this mass group and mass thing that he really doesn't want any part of. But what he loves is when you get out of the vehicle and you're by yourself and you want to go mess with the lion. That's when you're going to get yourself in trouble. And so that's why it is so important for us to be a part of a fellowship of believers, a church like Spring Hill, I'll say it, that believes like you do, that can stand in faith like you do, because here's why. You stay together as a unit and you're not vulnerable to the lion being able to consume you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what I want you to see today is that shield of faith is so important. If you've put it down, if you've gotten discouraged, by all means, pick it back up again. And God will meet you right there and continue on in the fight with you. If you've never picked up your shield, pick it up by all means. And let's go into battle together. And let's defeat everything that the enemy tries to bring against us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for the word that we've heard today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the water of your word. And Father, we apply it right now to our lives and to our faith. And Father, we decide that we're going to stand strong in faith, believing you, trusting in your word, Father. And Father, I thank you today that this word that we've heard, it's grown and gotten down into our hearts. And that, Father, it will grow up and produce fruit and bear fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to stand in faith and to believe you, to put my trust and confidence in your word and know that the promises of God, like we sang earlier, it is amen and it is done. So be it in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an invitation. If you're here today, I know most of the faces in the room, but I don't like to assume anything. If you're here today and you don't know where you are in a relationship with God, maybe you're here today and you're new to church, or maybe you grew up in church. Here's what I want to present to you, and that is this, that your relationship with God is not based on church per se. It has an important part. But what I want you to see is that your relationship with God is based on you opening your heart and receiving the free gift that God gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus 2,000 years ago paid the price for each and every one of us. He bore our sins. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven and we could be cleansed and we could walk free and clean. But you have to receive that. You have to open up your heart to receive that. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth and say that Jesus is Lord of our lives, then we are saved. And so I want to present that to you and give you the opportunity to pray that prayer with me in just a few moments. You might be here also and you say, well, Pastor, I've done that before. I've given my heart to Christ, but I know that I'm not walking with Jesus like I need to. You need to understand that God's not mad at you, that he loves you dearly, and that in Jesus' name, he's drawing you by his Spirit right now. And all you have to do is just turn your heart back towards him and take a step towards him. And the scripture says that he'll run after you. So I want to invite you to do that today. Just turn your heart back towards home so you can recommit your life to the Lord. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you a brand new start and let you continue on with your walk with Him. But I would love to pray with you. If I've described you on either one of those situations, if you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I would love the privilege of praying with you today. If that's you, would you just do me a favor and raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, make you come down front. But if you need me to pray with you today, I'd love to do that. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray with me. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you please pray this prayer with me? Say it so loud you can hear it with your own ears. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. I believe with all my heart that you died for me. And I believe that you were raised from the dead. Forgive me of my past. Give me a brand new start. Jesus, I give you my life. I declare that you are Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for giving me a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.